So let's pray and get into this. Father, we thank you and we praise you for who you are and how much you love us. Lord, as we just gather together in your name as your people, you would speak to us. Pour out your spirit, Lord. Draw us closer to yourself this morning. So we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. It is so good to be out here. I'm not going to lie, I do get nervous when I get out here. I always tell people it's like a roller coaster. You're kind of scared, but in anticipation. Like when it hits Friday, I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. Going up, going up, going up, going up. Then when I get up here, I'm going down. Ah, I'm having fun. It is so awesome. I know most of you guys. You know, this is my home. I've been here over 18 years. Shannon was pregnant with Silas. He's right here. He's 18 years old. That's craziness. Been on staff for 12, and I know that this church is a church of love. So we're going to be looking at that today. So turn with me and just hold, because I'm kind of building a bridge here. We're mostly going to be in 1 John. But turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and kind of just hold your spot for there for a sec. But what we're going to look at today, and prayfully we'll get to where God wants us to be, but the truth of God's love and the attributes and the characteristics of that. Because God is what? Love. Come on, say that with conviction. God is what? Love. So we need to walk in his love. But I love how Steve said, it's not our love, it's love manifesting through us. And that's by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Now, I want everyone to stand up. Like, what? Just do it. Who do I want to pick on? Martin. He just turned completely pale, one of my kids. I'm going to have Martin start this off, but I want the whole congregation to quote John 3:16. Ready, set, go. Amen. You may be seated. Now that is the good news. That is the gospel. That's what we hang our coats on. That's what we hang our lives on. Now what I love in 2 Peter chapter 3, it shows God's love, because it's like, well, why are we still here? Because God wants to continue to extend his love to people who still need to hear it and experience and receive it. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in context, basically people were tripping because, you know what, thinking that God is dragging his feet on what he's doing. But he right here, he speaks to the church in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's heart, and that should be ours. And guys, the more that we are experiencing God's love and let it transform us, and we come together unified in that as the body of Christ, is attracted to the outside world. People want that, and that's what we want to give them. Amen? And I hope when you guys come in this place, we aren't perfect, and no matter what day you have, that you experience God when you come here and through the people. God loves us, and we know this in our minds. But we often don't live that way. A lot of times, we take our eyes off him. We allow the Spirit to quench it. Our hearts get hard. Our hearts get cold. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Jonathan, that works with me with the youth, and he does the young adults, did a message as he taught in the back for me while I was here. And 1 Samuel, he did on 1 Samuel 10 and 11, talking about the children of Israel. And his message was titled, Heart Condition. Now that's resonated with me for 2 weeks now. It's all about our heart condition. Where is your heart? Where has it been? Where is it going? Sometimes it takes detours. Sometimes we don't know what's going on because we allow things to suck out that love that God has for us. Every day, we need to go to Him and sit at His feet and experience the love that He has for us. But if you guys are not in your Word, if you are not spending time with Him and in fellowship, then how will you experience the fullness of Christ and His love? We need all we can get, amen? Because we live in a world that's foreign. Everyone's about me, 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 me. But no, it's about Him. Okay, I know you guys know this. And Pastor Mark shares this. So whoever wants to hit it, raise your hand. I'm a youth pastor, so I love doing this. What is the acronym for joy? Thank you. Tom made up. Jesus, others, yourself. You are on the bottom of the totem pole. He's first. Other people, then us. We need to know our place, amen? But we need to be okay with that. A lot of times we do things because we know we have to. No, we get to do this. And what I love, as we're going through 1 Samuel in youth group, and I'm also going through it to the school here, what do you guys think about the worship? Praise God for these guys. I love seeing the young people step up, man. So when you guys, before you leave, say hi to them. Give them a hug, because these guys are full of love, man. They were so excited to be able to do this. And I'm excited because I get to work with them every day as I teach Bible here for Calvary Chapel and Open Door Academy. But go ahead, let me get there. In 1 Samuel, so we've been going through the Old Testament. You know, we finished the book of Judges, a very dark time for the children of Israel. And you know what? We look at their heart all over the place. You know, it's like they've seen God's love and His wonders and what He's done for them and their provision. But then they turn their backs on God. Then they cry out to God. And what does God do? He delivers them. It's a reoccurring thing in the book of Judges. And it kept saying, and the nation of Israel did evil in sight of the Lord. They did what was right in their own eyes. But how many times do our hearts get to that place for whatever reason? We do not deserve this type of love. This is God's grace and God's mercy that we do not cheapen it, but we're realistic with it. Because we're human, we make mistakes. Amen? But God is the eraser as we repent and turn to Him. Now, I love Samuel. We see in the very beginning that we see a family, a guy named Elkanah, had two wives. Bad idea, guys. Just one. That's supposed to be funny. But he had one wife that had children and was basically picking on the one that didn't, oppressing her. And God made her barren. But she went to the Lord and cried out to Him and made a vow. It's like, if you give me a child, I will dedicate him all his life to you. And guess what? Out of love, God answered that prayer. He had a plan for all this. Okay, God has a plan from the beginning to the end. And we see Hannah bring Samuel to Eli the priest, and he lived there. Now, his living situation weren't all great. Eli had two sons, two priests, that were so messed up in the head. They were bad guys. They abused their power. They did things that I can't even really talk about right now. First of all, I don't have enough time. But it's interesting that he remained true blue to the Lord. And he grew up as a judge and as a prophet. Now we see in this time, in this section of 1 Samuel, Israel is tripping again. They want a king. We want a king. We want a king. Well, guess what? God was their king. God is their king. But why do they want one? Because everyone else has one. Doesn't that us, right? Grass is always greener on the other side, we think. But guess what? It still needs to be mowed. It does. Guys, be content with what God has given us. He's given us everything. Everything. He proved his love by being on that cross and paying our debt. Now we see Samuel right now. Let's look at chapter 12, verse 1. Now Samuel said to all Israel, "Indeed, I have heeded your voice and all that you said to me, and have made a king over you. And now here is your king walking before you. I am old and gray-haired, and look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day." That is a great testimony of a man of God. "Here I am," verse 3, "witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you." Now this is a man of integrity and humility. He's basically getting ready to pass the baton over to the king. He's not necessarily stepping down, but he's getting in the way, out of the way for Saul to do what Saul needs to do. Well, we know he doesn't do a very good job, because we see Samuel's heart completely sold out to God, and Saul's heart pretty much belonged to himself. God gave him everything he needed, but he chose to do it his way. There's a contrast here. The children of Israel, even in the midst, we're in the midst of chaos and a crazy world, but we see someone through history, a real person, that maintained his testimony, his integrity, and his love for God. The reality of God's love surrounds us day by day, and it's revealed to us through his word. He is a personal God, and we need to make it personal. God's love is steadfast. If you're taking notes, here's some good stuff, I guess. Number one, God's love is steadfast and unchanging. God's love is revealed to us through Jesus Christ, which is referred to as the Word of God. God's love comforts us. God's love is poured into us through his Holy Spirit. God's love compels us to love one another. These are attributes. These are things that we can build our relationship to be steadfast in him. Real quick, you can turn there. You don't have to, because I'm going to be popping around a little bit. But in Deuteronomy, chapter 7, in verse 9, says, Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 9, "Therefore," and he's speaking of God's chosen people, children of Israel, "therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." Now let that resonate. Who love him and keep his commandments. Guys, we are God's chosen people. He chose us. Real quick, another one. This is one of my favorite Old Testament passages. In Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17, "The Lord your God, in the midst of the Mighty One, or in your midst, the Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." I think that's beautiful. This just backs up. And this is three scriptures I got to back up the five things that I told you about him. All scriptures point to Jesus and his love for his people. Those who repent of their sin and place their faith in him. Now we're learning about God's love and attributes, but are you experiencing God's love, and are you showing it to others? God is always showing his love, but are you experiencing it in a personal way, the way that he wants you to have it? And it's by having a personal relationship with him. Now there's quite a few people in this room. I know a lot of you guys. But at the same time, I don't know where everyone's at, but God does. But what I want to do, and God's put on my heart, I want everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us, Lord. Come into us. Make us yours. Help us, Lord, to walk in your ways, to experience your love, and to show it to others. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what's awesome, no matter where you were, where you're at, guess where you're at now. If you meant that in your heart, sincerely, guess what? You're good to go, and guess what? You're going to be with me in heaven. Because I know where I'm going. I have that confidence. Because I have a relationship with God, and you guys should have that assurance too. I'm not being prideful. I'm being realistic. But if you prayed that prayer for the first time, the prayer room will be open later. I'll be floating around. People will be floating around. Tell someone. Because this is a magnificent thing. If for some reason you wandered off, welcome home. Guys, God's love is amazing. We only scratch the surface of it through knowing him in a personal way and through his word. As Christians, God wants us to grow in love. As we live for him by studying his word and allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you'll know what God's perfect will is." That's what we need to do. We're no longer the way we used to, but we're being transformed by God's word. And again, where does it start? But what we just did now, by accepting Jesus Christ by faith into our lives. Now go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 22. I will meet you there in a second. Matthew chapter 22. And go to verse 34, but don't look at it. I'm like, why? Well, because I'm going to be Steve. Now, Matthew chapter 22. Okay, flip too many pages. Verse 34. Now, real quick. Now, in this time in Matthew, in chapter 21, we see the triumphal entry. We see Jesus cleanse the temple. His authority is questioned. He starts knocking out a bunch of parables. Pharisees are trying to trick him up by testing him. Before we get into scriptures, because they ask him a question. And who do I want to hit up? I'm like, please don't look at me. Please don't look at me. Mark, what are the two greatest commandments? Amen. Now let's read it. Now check this out in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest, or great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law of the prophets." Now the Pharisees knew this. Their code of morality consisted of countless minute rules and regulations. But Jesus summed up the moral obligation in the word love, expressed in a twofold direction of God and neighbor. Well, what's awesome about this thing was called the Shema that they repeated over and over and over and over. Guys, we need to meditate on the word of God, what? Every day and night. It needs to become a part of you. If it's going to be a part of you, then guess what? The love is going to remain. Your heart's not going to get cool. You don't have to be like Saul or other people that we see in the Bible that had an opportunity and wasted it. John 14:15. You can turn there or you can just chill, because I'm not going to be there very long. John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Guys, he asked very little of us and has given us so much. Now let's rock and roll on this. Turn with me, and we're going to be spending our time, almost the remainder of time, in 1 John. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. And I don't want to speed through this. I love Pastor Jonathan. Him and I are just, you know, we can call each other out. First service kind of went long on certain things, and I was running out of time. I got to this point, and I just switched gears, and I just put the hammer down, and I just went way too fast. I want you guys to be able to resonate on this. I want you guys to receive this. I don't want to go too fast. So, as I'm still going there, 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 3 again. This is written by the Apostle John to the church because a certain sect, a cult, the Gnostics were coming in and confusing everybody. And he wanted to let them know, this is how you know that you know. Verse 3. I can't share all the ones that I want, so I'm just going to kind of plug in pretty much each chapter until chapter 5, the nuggets the Lord's given me to give to you. Now, verses 3 through 11. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Well, Jesus just said that. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandment, it is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also walk, just as he walked, and that he is a capital H. And who does that mean? Jesus. Brethren, verse 7, I write to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Guys, that could happen. Loving people is not easy. Straight up, people are annoying. I'm annoying. Deal with it. Jesus does. He still loves me. Why? Because he has that agape love. What is that agape love? Someone give it to me. Unconditional love. What does that mean? That's loving someone even if they don't love you back. You get nothing from it. That's not an easy thing to do for us. But as that Steve said, not any love that I have. It's the love that he is in me, that he has given me, manifested in me. Guys, one thing I've learned, and I'm still learning, because people upset me. You got to see people the way Jesus does. You got to pray over them, put them at his feet. And in doing that, guess what? It's not that hard to love them. It's really not. A lot of it's our pride, our selfishness, and you know what I'm saying? It's true. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 10 through 15. 1 John 3, verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested, are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor does he not, or does not have the love for his brother. For this is a message that you've heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Now let's pop down to verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. And Jonathan used this in his announcements. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts his heart up from it, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. And this we know, that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts for him. Guys, should be 30% doing this. 70% taking action. Putting the money where your mouth is. Show God's love in practical ways. If you have a heart for the homeless, go for it. If there's a heart for whatever it is, we have so many things going on. There's so many different organizations. You can go out there and do whatever you want for the Lord. But guess what? Do it. Not just be hearers, but be doers of God's word. We drop the ball so many times. But we do not walk in discouragement or condemnation because we have what? God's grace. But let's not cheapen it. Let's learn from it. Let us grow from it. Real quick, hold your spot. You know what? Go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, and pause. But I want to read a verse in John 13, 35. So you guys are going to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, and I'll meet you there in a sec. But I'm going to John chapter... I'm so glad I write things down. John chapter 13, verse 35. And I'll get there eventually. You know, let's start in verse 34, or I'll say it. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. There's the proof. You want people to know that you're a Christian. You want people to know who you stand for and who you love and who you live for. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not know God, for God is love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this verse 9, the love of God has been manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The love in the body of Christ should be strong. It's not always perfect because we're human. But don't let that use excuse to hold grudges and be bitterness. You forgive, truly forgive. Because when you're holding bitterness, that's not forgiveness. When Jesus forgives, he what? He forgets. It's kind of hard for us to pull the second one off, isn't it? But we're capable of it, to let it go. Because we have the power of Jesus in our lives through his Holy Spirit. We need to walk in the love and the light of the Lord and walk in wisdom. I don't have time to get all the scriptures because I don't want to skip the last couple. But in Ephesians chapter 5, it starts out saying, be imitators of God, walk in love. So the first five verses in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul the Apostle talks that we need to walk in love. Be imitators of God because he is love. Now, in verse 18, 14, first we walk in love, then we walk in the light of the Lord's love, and then 15 through 21, we walk in the wisdom of God's love. We walk in love, we walk in the light, we walk in wisdom. We need all those things to be manifested in us, and that's through God's Holy Spirit. We really need to ask God, though, guys, for an urgency to show Christ's love to the people who do not know him yet. As I started in 2 Peter chapter 3, what is his will? That none shall perish, that all become repentant. And we have a responsibility. We need to do our part. It's God working through us. We don't save anybody. It's him. But we are his vessels to be emptied and be filled with him. Turn with me real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll have the boys come on up because we're going to end in some worship. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, We're going to start in verse 14, but the context of this is being reconciled to God, and it's the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, that those who live," check this out, this is us, "should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him this no longer. Therefore," key verse, "if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new." Now all the things of God, who has reconciled us through to himself through Jesus Christ, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespass to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Key verse, right here, verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he who made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him." I'm going to close with this. But I want to really encourage you guys, if anything you got out of this, you want more of God's love. And the different attributes and different characteristics and different ways the Holy Spirit presented through this message. In 1 John chapter 5, you can turn with me or you can just chill. But this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. This is the Apostle John speaking to the church. He's thinking of the Gospel of John. But in 1 John chapter 5, let me find it because I was going somewhere else. First John chapter 5, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And anyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and what? Keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who has overcome the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Father, we thank you for the love we don't deserve, the grace of the mercy, but you did it anyways. You humbled yourself and came down as a man and endured the cross and the shame that came with it just because you love us and want to spend eternity with us. Lord, help us not just to wait until we go home. Help us to experience the fullness of your Son now. Lord, and all the blessings that come by experiencing your love and showing your love. I love showing your love. I'm so blessed. Lord, help us to get more of just showing your love, Lord, to one another and being a reflection of your Son to this outside world. So Lord, I pray, Lord, as again your word has been spoken, as we continue to worship you, we would just digest and resonate on your words. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.